bibbidi bobbidi boo. Now salagadoola means a minchikaboolaroo. But the thing about that does the job is bibbidi bobbidi boo. Just a wave of my stick and finish the trick.
Oh, yes. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together, whatever you got. Ed, you've got bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. That's all I'm going to tell you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. That's probably the big song from Cinderella. Walt Disney's Cinderella. Thought we'd play a little Walt Disney music for you. Here on Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I am, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, delighted to be here. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, July the 12th, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. Among other things, we're going to be talking about why is attendance down, especially at Walt Disney World. So stay tuned for that. But in a few minutes, James Webb of the Quincy Institute is going to be here, and we are going to talk about sending cluster bombs to the Ukraine to fight the Russians. Question, is it the right thing to do? Or will it end up maiming civilians down the road? We're going to talk about that with James Webb. And FBI Director Christopher Wray, testifying before a congressional committee this morning, will he agree with Republicans that there's a two-tiered justice system operating at the top levels of his bureau? We'll find out about that. We'll talk about it. And Joe Biden wrapping up his NATO trip. Though he skipped the dinner last night, I think he went to bed early. I'm not sure about that, but we got a lot to talk about there. And the question is, did he accomplish anything of value during that visit? And we have a good one in our ultimate top 10. Who are the 10 best Major League Baseball managers right now? We're going to tell you who they are. Yeah, we figured it out. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, the best haircutter, the best place to go for a haircut in Tampa Bay, as far as I'm concerned, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree pruning, tree removal, stump grinding, it's Arbor Life. They are the best. Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Give them a call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right. So, what we have right now is a lot of things going on. Especially in front of a committee of the House, FBI Director Christopher Wray is testifying this morning. I think it just started. And he's going to try to worm his way out of questions about why a lot of people think there is a two-tiered system of justice at the FBI, one for conservatives and Republicans and another one for Democrats and liberals. An FBI spokesperson says that Wray will focus his remarks on the good work of the FBI to protect the American people and the professionalism, patriotism, and dedication to public service of FBI employees. Here's the deal. I think most people would agree. The FBI, especially the lower-level people that are doing all of the work, the grunt work, are doing a great job, and they are to be commended. But it's the execs at the top. I think it's called the seventh floor of the FBI building. Those are the people that we're worried about. I mean, weren't they involved in 2020 in obscuring the Hunter Biden laptop along with the rest of the Justice Department? Wasn't the FBI directly involved? Didn't they have the laptop at that point? So how is Christopher Wray going to explain that? How is he going to explain it? He is also supposed supposedly he's expected to discuss the breadth and impact of the work that the Bureau's more than 38,000 employees do each day. Well, everybody will agree on the committee that those people are doing a great job. He will also discuss what the FBI has done to take on violent crime. Apparently, they have arrested more than 20,000 what they call violent criminals and child predators, which he will say is an average of almost 60 bad guys taken off the streets per day. And that's good. Hey, did you hear that they may want to move the FBI building? They may move it to Alabama. And I'm not kidding. They've thought about it. It's currently, I think it's in Quantico, Virginia. I think they got an office in Maryland also, Ed.
I was thinking maybe Disneyland or something.
Well, there might be some property available over there in Orlando, a large swath.
Put it in Fantasyland.
Yeah, you never know about that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. As a matter of fact, we can talk about it now. I've pulled up a story that says Touring Plans. It's a company that collects time data from info provided by the Disney Parks mobile apps and other vehicles, measures historically average wait times, and said the average wait time, for instance, at Disney World on the 4th of July at the Magic Kingdom was 27 minutes. That's down from 31 minutes a year ago. And in 2019, the average wait time, listen to this, at the Magic Kingdom in 2019, the average wait time was 47 minutes. Now, Ed, I know you're a regular visitor to the Magic Kingdom, well, and you get in line.
I think they're talking...
Does that sound truthful to you?
I think what they're doing is they're talking about the top-end rides. There was an average. Now, think about, you may think, well, that's not, you know, what big deal, so it's only 27 minutes. But you have to realize Disney is losing money hand over fist because it used to be in the old days, and this was a while ago, you could get in for about $85.
Yeah, that's
you know,
really,
and I remember it was creeping closer to 100, and you know, they'd have a March Florida Day, you know, driver's license, and you get half off, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's 175.
Yeah.
And now, but here's the add-ons. You know, you can buy a bracelet for whatever it is for the day that you're in the Magic Kingdom and skip the lines. Now, that may cost you $50-$75, but you go right to the front of line. You don't have to get in line. Well, if it's only 27 minutes, do you really need to spend that extra $50 or $100? There you go.
Yeah. You're
lost out on that, too.
So the question is, what's going on? Well, we happen to know that a bunch of people at the top have been leaving Disney.
Mm-hmm.
We also happen to know that... the top execs, the CEO at Disney World and Disney Company have been sort of in, let's say, conflict with Ron DeSantis over mm-hmm. certain policies that Disney has decided to bring up.
They've lost some employees.
They've lost a bunch of employees. I think at one point they were instructing their people there to refrain from... using certain words that
right.
Would, you know, rather than say he or him when it came to certain characters, this, yeah. that, and the other thing, they've decided to, I don't know why, but decided to get away from the biological chain differences.
Right. And, you know, it used to be, like I say, in the old days, when you got to the Magic Kingdom and you got on that tram or whatever, you could check your politics, you could check your religion, everything at the door. Just go in and have fun.
Exactly.
And don't worry about offending somebody because you called them a he or a her or an aunt, whatever. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about this ride being offensive to a certain group of people. Come on. It used to be where you just have fun. And I know personally people who have families and grandkids now that they've decided, you know, maybe we're going to do something else this year
yeah.
instead of Disney.
I mean, Snow White was a woman. So was Cinderella. Peter Pan was a boy. The dwarfs, the last I heard, were men. They were short little guys,
yeah.
but they were men. I'm beginning to worry that they're trying to take away all of those things And it's just part of the fun of being a child and growing up with the Walt Disney characters. We all grew up with them. I certainly remember them. When I was a little boy, it was Peter Pan and Dumbo and Bambi and, you know, those kinds. And Cinderella.
The only thing you had to worry about is whether you could hold your lunch when you got onto Space Mountain. And that was it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, and the Mickey Mouse Club, you know, there was all these things that Walt Disney created that really made life more fun. When I was a little boy, Ed, Davy Crockett was a big deal. I was like 7 years old, and Davy Crockett, coonskin caps.
Did you have one of those?
I didn't, but my buddy, well, my neighbor boy, the boy next door to me did, and I kind of envied him. It was really a beautiful, beautiful coonskin cap, just as good as the one that the Davy Crockett, Fess Parker wore on the Davy Crockett show, and that was a Walt Disney show, you know.
I think somebody might be offended if you had a coon skin hat today.
But everything's offensive now.
You'd have to readjust that word. You know, it would have to be some sort of a fur-lined skinned cap.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, James Webb of the Quincy Institute, we're going to talk to him about sending cluster bombs to Ukraine.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
We are back here on Freedom Works on a Wednesday. We thank you so very much for being with us, and we are delighted to have James Webb join us. He is an advocacy associate at the Quincy Institute. He's a former Marine Corps infantryman and a combat veteran of the war in Iraq, and he is here to talk with us about Joe Biden's reversal on whether or not to send cluster munitions to Ukraine in their battle with Russia. James, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
It's absolutely our pleasure. This is such an important topic. Now, Biden is over there. In fact, I guess he's incurred the wrath of Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, in telling him that there's going to be a delay on whether or not to consider inviting the Ukraine to join NATO. Ukraine very desperately wants to join. And before we get into the munitions, do you have any thought on that delay?
It would not be right to bring Ukraine into NATO, particularly right now. They're in a state of war with Russia, and just very simply, if they were to join NATO, it would activate Article 5 almost immediately and put all of NATO at a in a war footing, more so war footing with Russia. But it would raise the odds of dragging us into direct conflict with Russia probably to 100%.
Yeah, Article 5, for those who don't know, has to do with the fact that if you attack one NATO country, you are basically attacking all of them, and they will all respond. And like you say, if during a war with Ukraine, how would this work? They're already fighting Russia. All of a sudden, they become a NATO country. Then you've got to worry about whether or not the rest of the NATO countries are going to pile on. Is that
right? Right.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. And if we look back to 2008, when NATO was looking to bring Georgia in to the alliance. One of the catching points there was the fact that there was a conflict between them and Russia and Russian troops inside of their borders, which would have done the exact same thing. And so it's prudent to not allow Ukraine into NATO, particularly right now.
Yeah. Now, Sweden is being invited in. And I guess that's not a surprise, although I guess you could give some credit to Joe Biden for getting that one figured out, right?
It's delicate, when you're expanding NATO. We made a promise to the Russians at the end of the Cold War back in the 90s that we would not move NATO one inch to the east, as it was an alliance dedicated to offsetting the advance of communism and the Soviet Union in Europe. And, Soviet Union went away. Therefore, one could argue that the purpose of NATO was ended at that point in time, yet it's bigger than ever, and it's right up on Russia's border right now.
Yeah, it is. Let's get to this situation now with munitions and with the cluster bombs. On Friday, despite the objection from a lot of allies and people that are, for Ukraine, and there are a lot of human rights organizations also worried about it, Joe Biden and his administration said that they would be sending what they call cluster munitions to help Ukraine in their fight with Russia. Now, the question is, and we know that Russia is also using cluster bombs, and a lot of countries, I think over 100 countries, basically have banned the use of cluster bombs. But in this particular case, what say you?
Well, it's a terrible idea, just quite frankly. It's 123 countries, like you're talking about, have banned the use, production, transfer, or stockpiling of cluster munitions. And inside of 123 is more than two-thirds of NATO itself. There's two pieces to this, Paul. First is, is there a practical application for these munitions on the battlefield there? The answer is largely no, particularly since they are being sent in the context to support Ukraine in the offense. Cluster munitions, particularly these that are being sent, they're 155 millimeter shells. Each one of these shells contains roughly 100 explosives, which disperse out over several acres in the air, and each one has a blast radius of about 10 meters, which makes them akin to about 100 hand grenades being littered all over the place, a lot of which don't explode, and they're designed for troops or armor in the open. They're not designed to be lobbed into trench lines, to support offensive action by the Ukrainians. And in fact, the dud rate is a big concern for a lot of human rights groups, because munitions worldwide, upwards of 40% of them in cluster bombs, do not explode. They lay around, they're camouflaged into the ground, and they remain there for years until some unfortunate civilian picks them up. But that applies too. If you're putting cluster munitions out in front of your men while they're walking across the open, they're it's equal opportunity weapon.
Yeah.
It's not precise. The second piece of this, and the bigger part, is the moral high ground for the United States. It's not a good look. When the U.S., which is supposed to be leading the world, particularly from a point of morality, is sending a weapon which the majority of our allies don't approve of and consider inhumane.
And I think you make a very good point. But then war is war, and let's face it. If you've got military running around shooting each other, and the unfortunate byproduct of that is that innocent people die. Although I would tell you people that are fighting for their country are innocent as well, but we do make it. It's a different thing. These are the soldiers, and of course, cluster bombs are not going to have the pinpoint accuracy of certain other kinds of weapons. But the truth is, isn't it true that all is fair in both love and in war?
No, they're as a combat veteran, I fought in Ramadi, Iraq in 2006 and 2007, where we were mixed in with civilians all the time. And you have not only a moral but a legal imperative to minimize civilian casualties, and also you engage the enemy with proportionality. It's part of the Geneva Convention, and if you're saying something like cluster munitions is fair because war is war and people die. Then where does this stop? Chemical weapons have an application on the battlefield. Nuclear weapons have an application on the battlefield. And if you start moving down that road where everything is fair and legal and the way to do it, where does this end? Mm-hmm. And we're already embroiled in a conflict over there where we continue to escalate and continue to send more and more sophisticated and destructive weapons. And we're positioning ourselves and NATO generally, to be directly in conflict with Russia, and there needs to be some sort of diplomatic, solution from our government. There needs to be a roadmap where there's a diplomatic outreach to the Russians, and the United States reassumes its place as the leader of the free world.
We're talking with James Webb. He is an advocacy associate at the Quincy Institute. He's a former Marine Corps infantryman. A combat veteran of the war in Iraq. So he certainly knows what it's like to be in battle. You mentioned, James, that a goodly percentage of these cluster bombs don't go off right away. They don't detonate. Why is that? Is there something wrong with the way they're put together? Or is it that there are so many that are clustered together that the chances are just increased that some won't go off?
Well, I'm not an expert on the technical pieces of these particular munitions. I was an infantryman.
I joke. Well, I wouldn't say that. Go ahead.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't.
No,
either.
You're but, not.
The munitions themselves, it's an older system which kind of had its heyday in Vietnam, and it's not designed to be precise. And also, there's a lot of technical pieces when you have a munition which disperses at an altitude and then scatters everywhere. Physics takes control, and they don't go off. And we've heard from the administration that these particular munitions have a dud rate between 1% and 2%. But historically, that's never been the case. Even our most sophisticated munitions in different wars were upwards of 20%. We'll see. But this is going to, at a minimum, this is going to litter the countryside if they're sent.
Yeah.
With these small munitions, and Ukrainians and potentially the Russians are going to be, finding them in their farm fields for decades to come. There was a report, I believe it came out of Cambodia, saying that to this date, they're still seeing cluster munitions from the 1960s and 1970s in their rice fields, and kids are picking them up. So they don't go away. They don't become inert by not going off.
So as we've discussed, Russia uses them. Does this put Ukraine at a disadvantage if they are not allowed to use these? I mean, in other words, Russia and Ukraine would be playing by two different sets of rules, wouldn't they?
Well, Ukraine's been using them as well. They had a stockpile of Russian-made cluster munitions.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on. But the important part here, is our government and the Biden administration ceding the moral high ground on yet another issue. Where we're lowering ourselves to the actions of our adversaries, and to their moral orientation, and we should not be doing that.
Let me ask you something real quickly. I know my colleague Ed Davis has a question too, but should the United States be sending any kind of weaponry over to Ukraine at all? Do you think? Aside from cluster munitions.
Yeah, Ukraine has the inherent right to self-defense, like anybody does. However, what we found ourselves in right now, and a New York Times editorial actually commented on this the other day, is a state of mission creep that's getting close to, you know, it, and it echoes in Vietnam and Afghanistan. And sending these munitions, sending any munitions without a plan, you know, without some sort of end state for our involvement there is not fair to the American taxpayer at a minimum, because we've dumped well over $100 billion into this conflict in, you know, barely a year. So, you know, what we would like to see here in particular at Quincy is, a plan for our exit, which is driven by America stepping forward and, you know, being the diplomatic leader that we have historically been.
Ed, do you have a question?
Yeah, James, I was just wondering, what was your reaction when President Biden, on a live TV interview, said, "We're running out of ammunition, so we're going to send them cluster bombs"?
Well, that's a giant red flag. You know, it's the way we look. You know, our orientation as a country should be our military and our people first. And if, you know, we're running out of conventional munitions to send overseas, so now we're scraping the bottom of the barrel by sending cluster munitions, that should be a giant, you know, another giant red flag. It, you know, it prompts our lawmakers to pay attention and take some action in D.C., A, to figure out, you know, what our weapon stockpiles actually look like, you know, B, how long can we fight if we have to, and C, if we're going to continue doing this, does it make sense? You know, is Ukraine winning? Nobody seems to know. It doesn't quite look like it. They're off. Their offensive is hasn't achieved one significant objective. So this should be a larger conversation in the media and government about what we're doing.
Well, James, I'm just saying that because we're seeing a pattern here. We sold all our oil and national reserves. Now we've gotten rid of all our ammunition. What's next?
That's a good question. Hopefully it's not sending our military to go fight Russia.
So, James, sounds like you're saying maybe we should be pulling back, maybe pulling out of our involvement in the Ukraine?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's, it's time for this conflict, you know, to have a serious diplomatic effort. And, you know, the more weapons we send, the more we become involved in planning Ukrainian operations, giving them advice, which has been going on for a year, the deeper we get sucked in and the more of the primary adversary we look like in the eyes of the Russians.
So the I was going to ask you, if we pull out, hypothetically, and are looking to end this war, it would sound to me like you're willing to allow Russia, for instance, to maybe hold on to the Crimea and those parts of Ukraine that they've already captured?
Well, I think we need to be realistic about, you know, what the solutions for that might be. It's not in our national interest, I don't think, at least, for U.S. troops to go in there and take back Crimea on behalf of Ukrainians. The Russians have been pretty clear about what they want. This conflict has taken tens, if not hundreds of thousands of lives. And if the Ukrainians can't achieve these objectives on their own, it's their country, then that's where the line gets drawn. We need to insert ourselves, you know, to bring this to a close. And the longer we wait, the further away from a position of advantage when it comes to negotiating we are.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, James, for your thoughts on this. A very interesting discussion with you. Appreciate your time. Hope to talk with you again down the road.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
All right, sir. James Webb of the Quincy Institute. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, I see Christopher Wray is testifying right now before that committee. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And did Joe Biden really accomplish anything? Although he did get a good night's sleep last night, he missed the NATO dinner. Did he accomplish anything over there?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? Arbor Life Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But Arbor Life not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. It's Wednesday. We thank you so very much for being with us. Lots going on besides what's going on over at NATO and in front of that committee that the FBI director is testifying on. U.S. home prices went up in May, in fact, to the highest level on record, reflecting a worsening inventory shortage that has been squeezing would-be home buyers. A lot of them are being priced out because of these prices. The Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hike has sent mortgage rates soaring above the 7% for the first time in nearly two decades. It cools the desire to go out and take out a loan. So a lot of homes are sitting, but the house prices are going up too. So you got a kind of a combination of things going on. Even though rates have been slow to retreat, home prices are on the upswing. Rates on the 30-year fixed mortgages now hovering around 6.8%. That's according to Freddie Mac. That's well above the 5.3% rate a year ago. So, you know, those houses that have been sitting for a while, it's going to be tough. Homes are at a premium, as a matter of fact. So kind of a combination of ingredients. And so the prices of these homes, if you really wanted to sell a home, it looks like if people can get the money, you can make a good deal. All right. So Christopher Wray, as we said, is testifying right now, talked about the fact that he wants to publicize that the FBI has been doing some great grunt work, and they have over the many years. And, you know, Chris Wray was appointed the FBI director after Donald Trump fired James Comey. He put in Christopher Wray. And to my knowledge, Trump has not said he would get rid of Chris Wray. A lot of people feel that Christopher Wray is not doing a good job and has continued the, what would you say, the two-tiered system of justice with the FBI? Because Chris Wray was in there when the Hunter Biden laptop was discovered. And the FBI had possession of that laptop, did they not, before the 2020 election? And yet we didn't hear much about it at that point. Anyway, Lindsey Graham, the U.S. attorney, I want to talk about Lindsey Graham, firing back. The U.S. attorney handling the Hunter Biden probe contradicted claims from an IRS whistleblower in a letter to Lindsey Graham. Now, Lindsey Graham is a Republican from South Carolina. He sent a letter to Graham, and Graham is challenging the letter, which basically says that the prosecutor of the Hunter Biden fiasco, David Weiss, has been, let's say, reticent to go after Hunter Biden. That's what Lindsey Graham is feeling. Weiss is the federal prosecutor in Delaware, handling the years-long investigation into Hunter Biden. And Weiss said that he has not requested special counsel status. A lot of people think that he should be free from the clutches of the Justice Department to continue the probe into Hunter Biden. But Weiss says he doesn't need that. Weiss made the same assertion that U.S. Attorney Merrick Garland has made, noting that he was told he could file charges against Joe Biden or Hunter Biden in any district outside his own home ground of Delaware if he wanted to. But that contradicts what a lot of people have said that Weiss said to them, including the whistleblowers. He intimated to the whistleblowers he didn't have the authority to pursue charges against Hunter Biden outside of Delaware. So away we go, you know. This whole thing is continuing, and here's Chris Wray trying to defend the FBI and how they've been handling the situation. They're all part of the same, what would you call it, the same apparatus, are they not? The Justice Department, Merrick Garland, the FBI, Christopher Wray. And the question is, are they representing our country, or are they representing a particular political viewpoint? A lot of people think that it's the latter. So here's something I wanted to talk about. And this is especially for Floridians. Farmers Insurance, which is a big home insurer and car insurer, has said that they're going to be pulling out and discontinuing packages in auto, home, and umbrella policies in Florida. Now, it's kind of a scary situation, but, you know, with the hurricanes and possible flooding and everything else, I guess a lot of insurers are somewhat reluctant to continue to cover people and their property here. This is basically, I think it comes down to property insurance. Here's my thought on it. I don't like too much government involvement in the insurance industry because, in my opinion, the less government involvement you have, the better off you are in getting a good and fair policy. Why do I say that? Because when the state gets involved, or the government gets involved in the insurance racket, they want to spread out the responsibility. So the homeowner that lives right on the Gulf of Mexico, okay, why shouldn't he be paying a lot more for his property? Because it's subject to flooding a lot more frequently than some guy inside of Florida that's far away from the ocean, or at least relatively speaking a lot further away, and doesn't have the same chance having his property flooded, which means that he doesn't end up, you know, costing the insurance company as much. Ed, do you have a thought on that?
Well, insurance companies, they're in it for the money.
Of course.
Well, I mean, we'll go 2, 3, 4 years with no hurricanes, and they'll still raise their prices. And then when one does hit, they want to pull out.
Well, this is making my point.
I mean, exactly.
My point is this, that you should allow freedom of insurance companies, and they will come into Florida. They will set themselves up, and they will tell homeowner A, hey, guess what? You're on the water. You're going to pay more than homeowner B, who's not. You know, and justify, and more realistically, give them a premium.
I always thought that that's the way it went.
Get the state involved. What do? They decide to limit the rates.
Right.
We don't need that. Right. In a free market, the best product that you're going to get the best product at the lowest price. I don't care what the product is.
Right.
If you get the government out of it, look at tuition, education. Look at the cost when the government becomes involved. Look at healthcare, Ed. We've talked about healthcare and the cost of healthcare when the government becomes. So it's the same thing with insurance rates.
Well, it's the same as if you have two identical houses, one being built on Belcher Road and
which
US
is in the
19,
middle of the
or
away from
a
middle
and the
of,
same house is built on the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, the one on the Gulf of Mexico is going to cost you
well,
more.
Well, yes, it's no matter if the government's involved in it or not.
Exactly, but that's the way insurance should be. I mean,
well, it would be even more so that way if you would allow. In other words, the person that builds a home on the Gulf. We know how expensive that property is to begin with, and one of the reasons is because of the cost of insurance. Mm-hmm. But the other main reason is because of the beautiful view and being on the water.
Now I can guarantee you right now, and I'll lay anything on the line that by tomorrow, whatever, this is going to be DeSantis's fault. You realize?
I'm sure that they'll blame him, poor guy.
This is Ron DeSantis's fault. He should have come up with some magic wand that creates a new insurance company that comes down and says, everybody, we're going to give you $1 a day insurance.
And there's no question that the Democrats will jump on and blame Ron
really
DeSantis
easy.
And the Republicans
really
for the rates going up. Anyway, very good point. We're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to tell you who are the top 10 best baseball, Major League Baseball managers these days.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday. Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. So glad you're with us. And if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, bless his heart, you can go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. And Ed's got all our shows on podcast for you, so you can listen to the most recent show. You'll know who the guest is. You'll know what our top 10 is. Everything, and you can listen at our leisure. That's ourfreedomworks.com. All right. So I've never believed in aliens landing here at any time, but the more people are talking about these things, the more you start to wonder if there is a possible chance that there is life on some other galaxy or planet, and they have visited us. And here's one of the reasons I say that. A Tennessee lawmaker has issued a dire warning after claiming to have seen classified UFO footage that has not been released to the public. His name is Tim Burchett. He's a Republican from Tennessee, and he has speculated extraterrestrial life forms could have technology that humanity cannot handle. What? He appeared on some podcast to talk about it. He says, if they are out there, they're out there. And if they have this kind of technology, then they could turn us into a charcoal briquette. Okay? Well, how does that make you feel?
I got two views on that. I don't believe any of it because, let me tell you something, and it's always backed up. We had a piece of paper that people couldn't keep secret, the Roe versus Wave, Roe versus Wade
decision
to go from one desk to the other without being leaked out to everybody on the net. Now, if little green men are running around here, one person gets one video of it, they're going to send it out to all their friends.
I agree.
And let me give you another view. If, in fact, they are here, we are in big trouble. Because if they were here, they would say, hey, nice place you got here. We thought we'd stop by and let you know we're down the street. If you need anything, let us know, blah, blah, blah. If they're running around here in secret, we in trouble.
Now, Burchett is a sitting member of the House Oversight Committee, which has held hearings about potential threats and unexplained, what they call UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena. How do you like that
one? That's the updated hip version of a freaking UFO.
That's right. I like the old one better. But he says this, we can't handle it. He said that during his appearance on the podcast. He says, we could not fight them or fight them off. That's why I don't think they're a threat to us. Or they would already have been. I guess he means to say they would have already blown us up. Therefore, they're probably not bad people.
Look what we're doing to Mars. We've got a rover over there, and I'm sure there's
what are the Martians thinking?
There are instructions there. If this is found, call us at 1-800 or whatever, and let us know you guys are over there.
We just saw it here.
We're friendly.
I'm one of the little green Martians.
We're friendly. We want to know how we can get there faster. By the way, do you have any oil over there?
All right. Before we get into our top 10, Ed, and it's a sports baseball top 10, I didn't realize that the All-Star game was on last night. I totally missed it. I would have tuned in.
It's the old sports question that's always out there every year. What is the only 2 days there are no major sports? The NBA, NFL, and baseball, basketball, and that would be the day before and the day after the All-Star game for baseball.
Yes. Otherwise, every day there is some sport going
today.
On.
There is nothing today. There is nothing today. The day before yesterday.
Wow. So what does a sports fanatic do on these 2 days? They just have to be shaking a little bit.
We got reruns, baby.
how
many times I've seen Tom Brady throw a touchdown pass in the last, 2-3 months? At least 7 or 8 times.
Oh, my goodness. You've been watching old football games. Yeah. I can't do that. I don't like to watch reruns of sports events.
Well, you learn things from things you've seen a few times, you know?
Yeah, no, I have friends that enjoy doing that. I can't do it. Okay, Ed. Now, you're a big baseball fan, so you'll be interested in this. New Arena has come up with a list of the top 10 Major League Baseball managers. Currently?
For this year.
Currently managing Major League teams, yes.
Okay.
So let's find out.
It's got to be at least a manager from the Braves, the Rays, the Orioles. Certainly not the Mets.
All right, well, let's find out. Here we go, number 10. Number 10 is Craig Counsell of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, they're up there.
At the helm for the Brewers since 2015. He is the longest tenured manager in the National League right now, okay? All right, number 9.
That translates he's due to be fired, but go ahead.
Say that again?
That's translation for he's due to be fired.
Oh, yeah, you may be right. Number 9 is Dave Martinez of the Washington Nationals.
Yes, they're doing well.
Martinez guided Washington to the 2019 World Series title and is signed through this coming season. That'll be his sixth. with the club. Number eight. How about Gabe Kapler of the San Francisco Giants? They've been playing very well over the years. He took home the NL Manager of the Year Award in 2021. His Giants won 107 games, but they were unable to win a playoff series that year.
Hmm.
All right, number seven, Buck Showalter of the New York Mets. I think you mentioned the Mets. Showalter took home his fourth Manager of the Year Award last year when the Mets posted the second most victories in franchise history.
How can that be? Oh, then they're judging from last year because the Mets are in last place.
Well, I'm talking about, I know. But, I mean, right now we're looking at, you know what?
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I think that this poll might have come out before the season started.
I think so. Mm.
Okay. Number six, Dusty Baker. And we know Dusty. Dusty's the manager of the Houston Astros. At age 73 in 2022, in his 25th season, he finally won a World Series.
Hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Number five, Bob Melvin, San Diego Padres, three-time Manager of the Year honoree. He's used to getting the most out of his teams and has done a good job. Number four, you'll like this one, Ed. Kevin Cash is number four of the Tampa Bay Rays. He is 640-554 going into this year in eight seasons, guiding the small market Rays and made them a perennial postseason contender.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number three, Terry Francona of the Cleveland, used to be the Cleveland Indians, now they're called the Cleveland Guardians. In 2022, Francona was named AL Manager of the Year for the third time. That's pretty good. Number two, Brian Snitker of the Atlanta Braves. Atlanta's been a perennial, right? In the last 5 years, the Braves have not gone under a 547 winning percentage.
Well, right now, as of today, the Braves are the best team in baseball, period.
Wow, there you go.
They do have the best record.
Wow.
And two games ahead of the Rays.
So you can't fault Brian Snitker, right? All right, who do you think, Ed, is listed as the number?
I was going to say.
Beginning of the year.
I was going to say the Braves. It's got me. I don't know.
You're going to nod your head. Yeah, you've left out a very consistently winning team.
You know, you say the Yankees, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. It's Dave Roberts of the L.A. Dodgers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I told you. Dave Roberts of the L.A. Dodgers taking over as franchise manager in 2016. Listen to this. He's 653-380 going into this year. And if you count his one loss as manager of San Diego in 2015, his 632 winning percentage ranks third all-time in Major League history. There you go. All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us today. We are going to be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. President Biden says Ukraine's courage is an example to the whole world as President